Hey, welcome to the Gravity Falls Gossiper. I'm Eugene.
This is Chris.
Hey.
How are you guys doing? It's a show about Gravity Falls and life and stuff, and today we're going to watch episode 4, The Hand That Rocks the Mabel.
Clever.
clever title to a reference that all kids will get, I'm
obviously,
sure.
Obviously.
Really quickly, gravityfallsgossiper.com, gravityfallsgossiper@gmail.com if you want to email us, GFGossiperCast on Twitter, and I think that's it.
And remember all of those are only one P.
One P.
And we have a Facebook now.
We do have a Facebook, and we're also on iTunes, so if you guys want to leave reviews or whatever, go ahead. Hey. Live your life.
Do whatever you want.
Oh, man.
We're doing what we want, obviously, making this podcast, and we couldn't be more excited about it. We are so excited to do this episode now.
This episode is probably going to elicit a lot of interesting reactions from us emotionally.
Some feelings.
Personally.
There's going to be some feelings.
It's the Lil Gideon episode,
yeah.
And it is also a major plot, overall plot episode of the Gravity Falls universe.
This is an important episode to the universe, and I do believe Little Gideon rides a horse at one point.
Does ride a horse.
He rides a horse. That's important.
He has a macaw in it.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll get to all those things later, though.
All those wonderful things.
So, we've been recording these episodes in bunches, and so usually at this point we would say, thanks for this email or thanks for that, but we don't know what else has come out of the come down the pike. So
yeah.
So deal with it, guys.
Just deal with it.
So we're going to...
We're going to post deal with it. Yeah.
So we're going to stop the recording. We're going to watch The Hand That Rocks the Mabel. You should watch it too if you haven't watched it yet, because we're going to spoil it, or this is going to be terribly unenjoyable for you.
Or if you're just waiting to hear, I guess you don't have to watch the show if all you want to hear is Eugene and I's embarrassing stories. Like, you can just kind of fast forward through the parts that are about the show and then just listen to us talk about El Dorado or gnomes or what other.
Casey and JoJo.
We
should say also really quickly that hopefully pretty soon we will have guests on the show. We're
not going to say who.
Yeah, we're not going to say who yet, but...
We've got some guests coming.
Yeah, so stay tuned. When we do the guest episodes, we probably won't watch an episode during it, which works out great because right now we're in a little bit of a 2 to 3 week hiatus of Gravity Falls episodes.
Yeah.
So, we didn't say this in the last episode. Disney Channel, it airs 9:30 Eastern, 8:30 Central on Fridays. Also, we will put a link in the Tumblr post, which basically shows... Oh my God, I'm sorry. My phone just buzzed.
Eugene.
Oh, I'm so unprofessional.
That was super.
A link for all upcoming episodes that they basically play all day. A day.
They do play the show a lot besides Friday. Man, just put it in your TiVos, get it on iTunes, show Disney that you care, because we want this show to be on forever so that our lives can continue to have some meaning.
Thank you so much for all the reviews and all the emails and the tweets and everything like that.
Yeah, you guys have been super cool already, and it's the first two episodes have only been out for a day.
Yeah, as we record this. Whatever. Let's stop babbling.
Let's get to it.
Let's watch The Hand That Rocks the Mabel, and we will be back after we are done with that.
You're done?
Not yet.
How about now?
Almost. And there.
Let's do this.
And we are back after reading our word a day calendar.
Today's word was recompense.
Yes. Hand That Rocks the Mabel. That was a pretty epic episode in every single fashion of the word.
Yep. That's pretty big. It had a lot of stuff going on every level. I also think this was the quietest the two of us have been watching an episode.
Yeah. I mean, okay.
Aside from the laughter, there was a lot of just intent watching.
Let's leave all the themes for later.
Okay.
And let's just talk about the episode in general.
Okay.
I think we made mention of it when we were first watching it, that the cold open before the theme has so much going, so much like
awesome.
Jokes and plot development going on. That commercial for Lil Gideon at the first place where the guy's like, I'm so miserable, made both of us laugh.
Just the way that he says yes and his awful, terrible, crying, like, yes. Plus that they were watching Tiger Fist, I like even more than Ducktective. I promise you I will make a bootleg Tiger Fist t-shirt.
It also has the origin of Mabel's Womp Womp.
Yep.
Which is a favorite for everybody, yeah. I think, that's ever seen this show. And the cool thing about this episode is how Mabel-centric it is, because even though she is one of the two main characters, like, a lot of times she does not get a serious role necessarily. She's a lot of times there kind of as being Mabel.
Yeah.
Only way you can describe it is being Mabel. And this one, you get to kind of see her, that little veneer crack a little bit.
That's what the name of her autobiography will be.
Being Mabel.
Being Mabel.
And I'm trying to think of what else is in the beginning. Anything else?
There was a lot of good... there was another... Well, Tiger Fist would make another good band name if somebody hasn't already done that. But then... Well, I'll do the band names at the end again.
But yeah, so...
Oh, wait. Probably the funny... Like, this... As much as we were laughing during... I think the part that we laughed the hardest at was that part in the Little Gideon commercial... Where it has the disclaimer at the end. And then real quick, Carla, I've always loved you, but never had the guts to say it.
This is the reason we were so quiet is because this is such a, like even though it is hilarious and action-packed in the end, it is an emotionally packed episode, because whether you are young or you are old, I'm sure that you can find something in this to relate to somewhere in the radius of your life, of your romantic life.
Somewhere in your heart of hearts.
And
you have been somewhere in this episode.
One of my favorite bits of the whole episode is when Lil Gideon's at the restaurant and he's talking to the waiter and he's like, what did I say about eye contact? And the waiter like backs out. It's funny because I was just having this conversation yesterday with somebody about how
you hated when waiters look at you.
Yes. Just slapping the help around. No, we were talking about how, well, I originally was talking about how I heard on an interview somebody saying how, like, you can tell a lot about a person's character by how they react to a dog when they walk by, right?
Yeah.
Like, not the people that run up and just touch other people's dogs, but, like, if it's a person who walks by a dog and they just totally ignore it, you're kind of like, where's the soul, man? But, like, if you're with a person and they go, oh, you know, like, they, like, look, then, like, you're probably a good person.
What about if you see a dog, a dog coming near you, and you are terrified?
I mean, that's a whole other thing.
Okay.
I think I actually heard that on Professor Blasoff.
Oh.
Which I'm sure we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
But the person I was talking with was saying how, like, it's widely, like, known that one of the best ways on a date, which is relevant to this episode, that you can tell if a person's a good person is how they treat the waitstaff.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it was to throw a dog at them.
throw a dog at them. How do they react? Make sure it's feral.
Yeah.
How they treat the waitstaff.
Okay.
Like,
gotcha.
And I love, like, having had that conversation just yesterday, watching this, you're just like, oh man, Lil Gideon's not doing very good on this date.
Dude. Even though we decided he's the hero of this episode, right? At one point we were watching this and then you just goes, Lil Gideon's the good guy here, right? he's the hero of this episode.
Well, it's funny. One of our friends, Jordan, who tweeted at us, was saying how we made mention to this episode somewhere on another podcast. God only knows where it was, because they all blend together in our heads. But we may mention how it's like it kind of goes to both sides of the girls and guys in like this weird friend zone dating, are they not dating kind of thing. And she was like, what? She's like, I don't see where it is where it's Mabel's fault that she doesn't tell him. And we're just like, what are you talking about?
You gotta tell this guy.
Yeah, like,
look, he is obviously a little monster.
Yeah.
Yes, but she should have been straight with him.
Well, I mean, the whole time that she is pacing around the room when Dipper comes in, and she's just like, how do you tell him? They just want to be friends. Like, I should tell him, though. Like, she's like even telling herself, she's like, I should tell him, I just want to be friends. And it's like, yeah, like that would solve, and that is what solves everything in the end.
Well,
and
then the fight,
and then she rips off his mystic bolo amulet.
Yeah,
but I mean, the whole crux of the episode is her realizing that you have to be honest with somebody rather than leading them on or like just
avoiding the trouble, just like waiting it out and hoping things will get better or whatever. The Eugene is breaking the podcast. What have you done?
But no, like, because look, we don't want, like, we don't want to do any gender like preconceptions, but I'm going to guess in most instances, like, the guy is
before he finishes this, I'm just gonna say I'm not associated with what he's saying until he gets to the end, then I'll decide.
No, in most instances of some sort of dating circumstance.
In most circumstances of someone being led on.
No. Not led on, but it's in most instances it is a guy's, like, the guy will ask a girl out on a date, and then the girl can either like be into the guy and go on a date. She could sort of maybe be into the guy and just decides to go on this date, or she'll feel so bad that she doesn't want to say no that she'll go on this date, or she'll say no. That's probably what's going to happen, right? Yeah. And, like, as guys, we have definitely been through these situations many times in our life where a girl is just kind of going and hanging out with us in this weird friend zone to romantic zone, you know?
Yeah, you're trying desperately to pull her into the romance zone.
Yeah.
But she's not feeling it, but she's also not telling you quite strongly enough that she's not feeling she's
it's and watching this play out, it was very interesting to note the emotional visceral reactions that come up in us as bros,
in two nerd bros who have had our share of ladies being
not, I mean, they're not being evil.
No, not at all.
They're not being sinister, but they definitely did not
like... It definitely hurt us.
They definitely hurt
our
us.
Hearts.
They have scarred us forever.
Yeah, and that's why we are doing this instead of having...
We are ruined for the rest of our lives. But, I mean, we're not bitter.
No. Look, obviously we're not bitter, or we wouldn't be doing a podcast about a children's TV show.
Instead of spending quality time with the children that we have in our stable families, in our homes... Wildly successful and stable jobs.
Yeah,
and
yeah, that's why we are creative wrecks who who don't have families.
No, but like, I just lost my train of thought. But
you were talking about how women are the devil. That's not what we're saying.
No, but like, there have been instances, many instances where, you know, I have been way more into a girl than she is into me. And for some reason, she just keeps hanging out with me, and I'm just kind of like, what is going on here?
Can you think of any specific examples?
Well, let me list them off for you guys. All right. I will give you all their email addresses and their Twitter handles, and you can feel free to talk to them. No, it's funny because, like, do you remember, like, did you ever have any drama as a kid in, like, elementary school or, like, middle school with girls and, like, being embarrassed by them?
Oh,
like,
yeah. Like, oh, my God. Look, are you kidding? Look at me.
Oh, this episode's going to be 3 hours long.
Yeah. Okay, so I remember one time. This is not... I mean, I'm sure lots... Maybe not. Actually, I shouldn't say that. I don't know if this was a real common thing, but I remember once some friends of mine conspired to... And this is when I was probably in, like... Once again, I think I was probably around 8. So apparently all of the interesting things in my life, gnomes, that detective gnome, agency.
That gnome really brought a whole new phase to the Chris Haley life.
I really don't remember when, but I was like young enough to still be in grade school, in like elementary school. This is probably like in second, third, fourth grade, somewhere in there. But some friends of mine and like some girl, there was like, they were conspiring with girls. It was like on... Like the girls were having a sleepover and there was some friends that were having a sleepover and they conspired to get this girl that they knew I really liked, who was like the cutest girl in our class. And like everybody liked her. Funny story. Never mind. I'm not going to tell that part because then somebody might be able to find out who she is now. And then that would be terrible. But they conspired to get her. First, my friends called me up and I'm not at the sleepover with my friends. They call me up and they're like, oh, Chris, man, I heard that this girl, she really likes you. I'm like, what? You're kidding? That is who I really like. This is so awesome. And they're like, yeah, she's, you know, the girls are all having this big sleepover tonight. She's going to call you and say that she wants to go with you. Because
you don't go out, because you can't go out anywhere.
Go out.
So you just go with each other.
Yeah, that's what it was called.
Going steady.
Yeah, it's just like, you go. She's going to call and say she wants to go with you. And I was like, oh my gosh, I am so excited. And I am like getting all nervous and I'm excited and I'm like standing around the phone and like just waiting. And on a Friday night, I'm at home and just so excited in my pajamas. And then like, I think she called, but it was like somebody else at the sleepover on the phone first. They're like, yeah, she wants to talk to you. Yeah, I think she wants to get blah, blah, blah. obviously this ends with everyone laughing at me. I mean, let's just cut to the chase. This ends with everybody. Man. I hear everybody in the room laughing. So I gotta go now.
I gotta go cry. Yeah. Well, when I was in fifth grade, I was one of two Asian kids in my entire grade. I'm
me
Asian.
Too. Me too.
Yeah, you too. And the other Asian kid in my grade just happened to be a girl. And so, of course, everyone was like, you guys should go with each other. I'm really enjoying using go with again. Go with, yeah. I haven't used this phrase in a long time.
In a long time.
And so it got to the point where every day at the end of the day, somebody would have to like wash the chalkboard like with a sponge and water, you know, not just erase it because it'd be all nasty.
Explain to the kids that are listening what a chalkboard is.
Okay, so
the
chalkboard is, you see, before there were computers in every classroom. No, so I remember one day there was this kid who was a jerk who for some reason like hated me, and he in water put me and the girl's name with a heart between them, and then he turns around and yells at the class, hey everybody, look up here. And the whole class laughed at me, and if I had Lil Gideon's powers at that
you
moment
would have destroyed
I him. Would have ripped his head from his body because I was so angry. And then what happened was for the next couple weeks, all my friends, including girls like who were friends with her, were like pumping me up. They're like, oh, you should ask her out, you should ask her to go with you. And I was just like, okay, because I mean, like, look, she was cute, whatever. I mean, I was like, all right, I haven't gone with anyone.
Okay,
let's get this off the bucket list, my fifth grade bucket list.
Yeah.
And then they're all like, oh, she's telling us to say yes, you should totally do this. Even like her friends who knew me also were like, yeah, you should totally do this, she'll say yes. And I asked her out at the lunch table in front of other people, and she rejected me. Hardcore rejected me.
Hardcore. What did she say?
She was just like,
ew.
No, she just like started laughing.
Hold on. You be her, I'll be little Eugene.
No, because like, here's the thing, right? She just started laughing, and then she, always an awesome start.
Wow.
And then she kind of said, oh, I don't know. And then I think lunch ended, and like, it ended on an...
As did your life.
So like, and then later her best friend came to me, she's like, she's going to say no. Just like later to me, and I was like, oh, okay.
All right.
Well, I'm never going to talk to her ever again. And if she's out there listening to this by any chance, I hope you know what you missed out on.
On this podcast empire. All right, you want to hear, if there are any kids listening, I'm going to give you the advice that one of my best friends in school gave me for how to ask a girl to go with you.
Okay. Oh, this is going
to
be good.
Yeah, this is good. This is what he said to me. And this was a dude who, like, I had not gone with any girls.
This dude was going with so many chicks.
This was in fifth grade, and this dude had gone with a few girls, so he knew what he was doing.
He's like the Fonz.
A little bit. A little bit.
Oh, okay, kids. The Fonz is...
Go on. The Fonz was a real cool guy. Got lots of ladies. So he goes, look, man. He comes up to me, or we're in after school care. He comes up to me, and it's like, we're at fifth grade now, and I have not gone with anyone. And he goes, look, man, there's nothing to it. All you got to do is go up to the girl and go, look, I know you want to go with me. No, hold on. He goes, look, I know you want to go with me, so just go with me. That's it. And then he was done.
He dropped the mic.
Yeah, he dropped the mic, walked back over to the, you know.
Walked back to his harem of beautiful girls around him that were all fawning all over him.
Yeah, that was his advice to me.
Man.
It didn't work. Quick note, it didn't work.
I'm trying to think, like, as an adult, if that you could, well, for, I would love to just, as an adult, be like, will you go with me?
Because their response would be, like, okay, where?
No, like, oh, go steady with me.
You can't even say go steady. You're like, no, just, you know, go with me.
You know you want to go with me. Just go with me.
I'm going to try that. Look, I mean, I just want to, just to see. That's the thing. Like, I have this problem of all the time I'll be out in public places and I will think of things that I want to do just to see what the reaction would be.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, obviously they're not all dating related, but like the idea of just going up to a girl in a bar and go like, look, I know you want to go with me, so just go with me, just to see what would happen. Let's try that this weekend.
Have you, and again, we are going to limit this question to non-adult life.
Okay.
In your high school and child years, did you ever lead a girl on? Look, I'm going to make it easy for you. I didn't. Because I never really had that
chance.
I can't
imagine that I did, man. Because, like, I was... Okay, so for all of... Like, I just barely made it in for the age cutoff for my grade.
Oh, so you were younger?
I was the youngest guy in my class. And so that was, like, all the way up through high school. I was always, like, the youngest guy. And I was also... Until senior year... I was also, like, I'm pretty tall now. I'm 6'2".
Yeah.
I mean, if people who have met me know, I'm a pretty tall guy. So obviously I'm not sweating it now. But until senior year, I was one of the shortest guys in my class. I was the youngest, one of the youngest, and always the shortest. And it's like then that summer from junior year to senior year of high school shot up like a foot. And came back to school then the next year like, oh, what happened to you? So, but I mean, it wasn't until, I don't think it was until senior year, and then I had that growth spurt that all of a sudden girls even were able to see me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was when I talked about it on episode one. I was like 17 when I had my first girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yay.
I mean, look, I mean, that's, you know,
I had some,
that's awesome. I was overjoyed when it happened.
Yeah.
I still get, look, I'm in my 30s now. I still get overjoyed when I'm dating someone. I'm like, yes, this happened, guys. I still want to run back and like just be like, oh, man, I did it. You know, like.
It's like I had some girlfriends in my teens, I know. But I mean, it was exactly what you would call like what someone now would condescend and say, a little girlfriend. Oh, is that your little girlfriend? It was definitely that kind of thing. But I can't imagine that I was leading any of them on. I mean, I'm sure it was that thing where I was so overjoyed that a girl was talking to me that...
So, okay, getting back to Gravity Falls for one second. Okay. One of my favorite jokes is when it's like, if you don't say yes, I'll literally die. Yeah.
And then the doctor says, I can... What does he say? Like,
he's like, I can... As a doctor, I can confirm that. There's so many jokes in this episode that are so, they're not even jokes, but they're so funny. Like the macaw, like that, there's no joke there. And yet I laugh whole time.
That is a joke of ridiculousness. Like,
and then the whole thing with Grunkle Stan just loving that clown painting. There's no joke there, but it is one of the funniest things. Like when he, cause like having seen the episode before, when he first goes into the little getting house and he goes, oh, really love this painting.
Nice.
And you just start laughing immediately. But in this episode, watching it now after we've seen it 50 times, do you think Mabel leads him on?
Yeah, obviously. I mean, she's wanting to do... I mean, it's even that thing she says to Dipper. She wants to have somebody to girl around with. I mean...
That's how all girls lead guys on. They're all like, let me put makeup on you. Let's play dress up. Well, it's funny because rewatching this, the first time Gideon really says something kind of forward to her is when she is so enamored with his closet.
Yeah.
And
she's like, what?
And she's like, huh? Because she's so busy, like being so like thrilled with it.
Swept up in the fun time she's about to have.
Which like is also like, you know, yeah. Sometimes
you don't realize you're leading somebody on.
And like, it's awesome too, because like I said, we get to see Mabel be kind of broken down. The part where she runs out yelling from Grunkle Stan when he tells her that she has to marry Gideon. That whole pacing scene is so great because it's like it's the classic switch where you're so used to seeing this character be like unflappable and positive and optimistic, and all of a sudden she's like, what do I do? And you're just like, all of a sudden, man.
She's in Sweater Town.
All of a sudden she is in Sweater Town.
Which has definitely become a thing in our lives now. Like, we use Sweater Town as a real thing now. Like, we see one of our friends, like, oh, I think he's in Sweater Town right now. So thank you, Gravity Falls, for introducing that to us. That's such a good shorthand for us.
Yeah, totally. It's funny because we want to be so honest on this episode, but look, we can't be honest because I'm going to be real with you guys.
Look, we have been totally fake before, but now is about to get real.
I'll be real with you guys. We have had bizarre last months and a half.
Give or take, yeah.
And it sort of involves romance areas of our lives. Maybe. And since the wounds are so fresh, and since these are people that know the people that we know, we're maybe not going to talk about.
Going to focus more on all of the things that happened pre-adult life.
Look, if this podcast lasts a year,
then we can talk about some
I
of
promise
this stuff.
You guys, July of 2013, we will come back and we will tell you the ridiculous stories that we have from this
pretty
past
crazy
month.
But you guys can't. Just you go ahead and set your calendars now
your
to remind
alert.
Us yeah.
But like, yeah, so
that'll be like an anniversary episode.
This is why we are trying to search for stories that may not have immediate relevance. So
yeah. So I'll tell this story about the time in elementary school I wore a bolo tie.
Oh yeah, you did say you have a bolo tie. First of all, is Gideon Southern?
He certainly seems. One but Southern people wear bolo ties. I mean, well, plus the way that his dad talks is a
kind of
a Southern accent.
Is he? See, because like we're
I feel like they came up from
Texas.
I wasn't gonna say Texas because his dad's dressed kind of Florida.
Oh, that's a good point. This is the interesting thing of, for those of you not from the South, is that Texas South, Mid South, South, and Florida are all
so different.
Four completely different worlds.
So different. Well, it's funny too, and then you can even get into the different places in some of those areas, like Tennessee South, Mississippi South, and Arkansas South are all completely different.
Just like West and East Tennessee are completely different as well.
Oh, yeah.
And all that stuff. So tell you okay. I have never worn a bolo tie.
Okay, well, I will bring you one of mine.
Okay, we will go out, hit the town.
We will hit the town and ask ladies. Just, look, hey, I know you want to go with me.
Just go with me.
That's not really asking. That's telling.
I mean, I imagine that your friend's advice was, he's like, I'm telling these girls what they already know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just helping them realize it. It's a bullet.
So, my Uncle Russell that I've talked about in episode 2, who is the one that was in several wars, my Grunkle Russell, if you will.
Right.
After he retired, also another neat sort of tie-in to Gravity Falls, my Uncle Russell lived in Roswell, New Mexico, he lived there when the incident happened.
Right.
And like he lived there for years. There's no follow up to that, but it's just interesting because it also makes him even more of a character. But like he, at one point he decided he was going to get into rock tumbling and jewelry making.
Oh, okay.
And like, so he built a whole workshop in his garage for doing rock tumbling and turning it into jewelry. And he made me, I stopped myself from using a swear to describe how dope this bolo tie he made me was. He made me I don't know if you guys know what a tiger's eye is. It's a kind of rock. It's called a tiger's eye. Maybe we'll put a link to what one looks like up. They look really cool, and when they're all polished up nice, it looks. He made me a bolo tie out of one of those, and it was really cool, and I wore it to school thinking I was going to look so awesome.
Are you trying to tell me that you wore a tiger's eye bolo tie?
I did.
That is one of the most gangster things I've ever heard in my life. Like, it just sounds cool.
Well,
also,
it's a
great,
shame.
Great band name.
Yeah,
great
it's
band
a
name.
Shame you didn't go to my grade school because everyone else thought I was hilarious. Oh, Chris, you're so funny for wearing that. In a, let's point and laugh at this guy.
It's a lot of pain in us, guys. Our youth was filled with a lot
of pain. Our youth was filled with a lot of pain. But I still have this bolo tie. I still have it. I could still wear it out sometime. I think it looks dope. I mean, but you have to be a certain kind of person to wear a bolo tie.
Yeah, like what is your outfit with a bolo tie?
Well, it's got to be
dress shirt,
button down. Yeah, but I think it also has to be a certain kind.
Vest?
A vest maybe, yeah.
Leather vest.
Leather vest.
Frilly cowboy, like Native American.
Tassels.
Yeah, like the frilly suede jacket.
Fringe.
Fringe, that's what it's called.
Some kind of headgear, obviously. You got to have like a huge cowboy hat or...
Acid wash jeans. Acid wash jeans. Cowboy boots.
Cowboy boots, of course.
I'm going to imagine that's what young Chris Haley wore to school.
I wish I could remember what the rest of my outfit was, but I was so scarred by the fact that I wore the bolo tie. I wish you'd been there, man.
Wearing the bolo tie would have been the ideal time to say, you know you want to go.
I'm sure.
So just
I am certain I put that bolo tie on that morning thinking, I'm going to go to school and the girls are going to think I look so sharp that it's going to be so easy to get one of these girls.
It's like that Freaks and Geeks episode where he wears like the disco one piece jumpsuit.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, this is going to be so cool. And like he literally has to run home to change because he's so ashamed.
If there's ever an episode of Gravity Falls that deals with somebody getting a bad haircut or made fun of for a haircut, I've also got a great story about me and having a hair situation at school.
Oh man, I have a fantastic story about that as well. But
let's hope that the creators of Gravity Falls are listening to this, and then we'll make a hair episode.
Oh,
so that,
man,
we can tell
I
our
have
stories.
The most embarrassing hair episode or hair story from when I was in fourth grade. So bad that I shaved my head after it because I was like, we got to get rid of this. But anyways, it's funny, and I guess people, if there are women listening to this. I mean,
sorry.
If there are women listening to this, I'm interested to know. Well, here's the thing, right? Because as I've gotten older, because like when you're younger, you think so much about like, how do I know if she likes me? And like, when do I say? Do I say this? What does that mean? And like,
and as we've told you in other episodes, as you get older, the fire goes out. The light in your eyes dims until you don't care about any of these
I do
things.
Think that the one thing that is cool about that is that the older I've gotten, the more. And look, I know. There have been lapses in this, right? But the older I've gotten, the more that I've realized how much of a benefit it is to just kind of go up to a girl and just be like, hey, I like you. Want to go on a date with you? Like, you have to, like, say, you have to say it's a date, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'd like to go on a date with you. And, like, if you don't want to go on a date with me, totally cool. Like, just whatever. I mean, I will never talk to you again, probably, and avoid you everywhere we go.
Yeah, I will die of, I will be so embarrassed, I will not be able to talk to you anymore, but...
No, but then like you're like, I just want to, you know, I really like you, want to go on a date with you, maybe let me take you out to dinner. And you, I like the most of the times that I've done that, and I'm like, look, I don't just do it to strangers. I do it to people that I have talked to and have some sort of connection with. Like most of the time I've done that, it like actually works. And I am, from the women's standpoint, I would like to know what women think about that direct approach the older they get. Like, do you want a guy that you may not know that well to kind of come out of the woodwork and just be like you'll know him. He's not a stranger.
Yeah.
He's not going to come up
this
to you and go.
This is somebody in your circle, somebody you've had some kind of interaction with.
But do you want him to come up and be like, hey, I like you. I want to go on a date with you? Or would you rather him kind of like build up more?
Would you rather him do something that's just kind of like, hey, we should hang out sometime.
And look. Oh, yeah. Exactly. Because you're like, let's hang out sometime. Let's like get a drink or something.
That's real.
Or something. Hey, something. I'm from New York. And look.
Huge. I'll go ahead and say, don't do that. You specifically don't do that.
Oh, don't
anymore.
Go. I'm from New York.
Yeah. Don't do that whole move anymore.
But like, I know that this seems like it's for Gravity Falls based discussions, but really, we'd like to know as men.
Yeah, just for our, you know, that's a good. Well, and for anyone else that this could possibly help out in the future, because we'll get these answers from you ladies, and then we will send out that information.
I will say that my first girlfriend in high school was probably like, it was the most game I've ever had, and it's all just gone
downhill
from that. Yeah. Because, like, I saw her, and I was just like, oh, man, she's really pretty, and I'm going to go talk to her. Because when you're in...
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Because when you're in 11th or 10th grade, that's how simplistic you think. So I was like, oh, man, she's so pretty.
I did not think that. I was already beaten down by girls' laughter.
But I was like, I'm going to go talk to her. And so every day, she sat, like, diagonally in front of me, and it was the last period of school. And so I would sit there and like fumble with my books in my bag, like literally just like moving them around, like
just putting them in, taking them.
Like. Until she had packed up her stuff and walked out. And then I would like walk out and like walk by her and go, oh, hey, oh, we're in the English class together, right?
It's crazy.
And I'd be like, hey, I'm Eugene. And then I was like, oh, we should talk on the phone sometime. What's your number?
We should talk on the phone sometime. Yes.
And then I would call her and be like, hey, what's up? And, oh, we should hang out. And then I was like, oh, are we dating now? And then it's like, that's how it happened. And seriously, that is the most like carefree I've ever been in. Because ever since then, it is just a steep roller coaster down into the depths of shame and regret and
game and not knowing what's going on. I think in a lot of stuff, if you're more open with things,
yeah,
more just direct. I mean, maybe not. It seems like who knows? Who knows?
Okay.
Look, clearly we don't know. That's why we're asking.
What else from this episode should we talk about? There's a ton of stuff that we have not mentioned. I also don't understand why Mabel has a live lobster on her plates. Like
the restaurant is that fancy. there was also, this is the episode came back to having a magazine, which, because there was Gideon and Mabel magazine. Yeah.
Mag-Gib-Leon or whatever.
Mag-Gib-Leon.
Oh, and you know what? We haven't at all mentioned the hugest thing about this episode, which is the end reveal.
Oh, yeah, that there's another book. There's a book with a 2 on it instead of the 3.
Yeah, that Gideon has that had the mystic amulet in there.
And so we know he's coming back.
Yeah,
There's no way.
This is definitely the first episode where, like, even... It's interesting because, like, even in Dipper's eyes, like, when... He's like, you're a fake, aren't you? And Gideon's
like... Even though he believes in all this crazy stuff, he still thinks Gideon is a fake.
He's still complete... No, well, yes.
Until...
But then when he sees all the things start floating, like, he's a guy that believes in all this stuff and has the book.
Yeah.
And has seen gnomes and all that stuff. And he's like, oh my gosh.
He's still freaked out.
What is happening? And, I mean, like, this is the first episode where when I was watching the initial run for the first time, I was like, oh, man. Could this show become some completely different thing when all the secrets are on the table? Like, it will no longer just be like this episodic fun like show. It could just be this like incredibly like supernatural new thing. And I mean, like, they even tip it with what the restaurant looks like.
Yeah, with Twin Peaks.
Yeah,
we'll post that. There's like a good shot by shot comparison of the restaurant they're at and the red room from Twin Peaks that we'll post.
Yeah.
I doubt that's what's going to happen.
I mean, I'm not saying that it'll go completely to turn into this, like, supernatural war or something, but, like, it would be interesting if, like, it turned...
I think there's going to be big things happen.
Yeah.
For sure. But I don't think it's ever going to get too... I don't think it's ever going to get too far outside the premise of sort of brother sister.
I hope that everybody turns out to just be ghosts.
It's all in a snow globe.
It's all in a snow globe named Rosebud.
oh man, did we talked about this a little bit, but it really just made me like a friend of ours named Sam was just in Oregon for a while, and she said that Oregon really is full of places like the Mystery Shack. It's like the woods there, and there's like places with arrows nailed into trees saying, hey, come check out this weird thing. And it just made me even more so want to go to Oregon and open a Mystery Shack.
Run away. Never come back. And I've only been to Portland in Oregon, so I've
never been to Oregon at all, so I don't know. But it was neat to hear that it's like, oh, it really is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
We could go look at crazy things.
One thing I also want to say is from a music standpoint, the song that Gideon sings, I mean, it's awesome, obviously, but it's really interesting. Like, I wonder who wrote it, which we didn't look at the credits this one. We were so busy being completely... like starry-eyed over like the spinning Seuss disco ball at the end of it. But it's really interesting because like the timing of that song and the way that's structured lyrically, because it has to leave space for him to kind of say things and then do his little like psychic thing, is that like it's a really interesting like structured song from like the measures and the timing of it. Like I thought it was a really well made song.
Also, we should say that the person, I can't, the guy's name is hard for me to say even when I'm reading it. So I'm not going to try to say it now, but the guy who's doing Lil Gideon's voice is the guy that created the Cartoon Network show Flapjack, or the Misadventures of Flapjack, which is, I know you're just not familiar with it, but it's another great show as far as children's programming goes.
That's all we watch all day, which is like, look, you would wonder why we're not better with women. I mean, what's going on? By the way, somebody posted on, or they tweeted at us, showing us a picture where they said that we have Southern accents. And it's, I mean, look, we do have Southern accents. We are from the South. But it's always funny because I always, like, I forget that. Because, like, I don't think I have a very, like, thick Southern accent.
You don't. Well, even in the picture, it said we have slight.
But I always forget that people can even tell. Like, yeah, you know,
I never think about that until someone makes fun of us for it. And then I'm like, oh.
Well, when we go to, like, other cities, like, I remember when
people
we
people immediately, like, where are y'all from?
We went, well, they don't say it like that.
They don't say it like
where
that.
Where y'all from?
Hey, where are y'all from?
But we went to Emerald City Comic Con in Seattle, Washington, and it was me, Chris Haley, and Kurt Franklin, who does their webcomic together.
Kurt Franklin?
Kurt Franklin.
Franklin.
Kurt Franklin, as Caldy said.
No, I'm sorry. Furt Franklin.
We were all three there, and we're all from Memphis, obviously. And the number of people that stopped by our table and were, like, talking to us and immediately are like, oh, man, you guys' Southern accents are crazy. And
do
we're
just your like, Seattle accent.
I have no idea what a Seattle... It would be, like, an Eddie Vedder voice or something. I don't know. But it's always... It's interesting, and I'm glad that you guys enjoy our thick drawls of Southern accents.
Man, I can't wait. It would have been so funny if... We kind of had plans. We had tentatively planned to bring my 11-year-old cousin in here, who I watched the show with a few times, and ask her just some questions about what she liked about the show and that kind of thing. And it would have been hilarious then for you guys to hear her Iowa accent. Yeah.
Iowan, whatever it is.
Iowanian accent.
Iowanian. That's
compared
right.
with that, yeah. I didn't even tell that story. Never mind.
It's always funny for me when I see other Korean people in Memphis and they are speaking perfect, like, Korean. Mm-hmm. And then when they stop speaking Korean, they start speaking in this thick, thick Southern accent. And it's just so like, whoa, like it just like blows your mind. Anyways.
Which, of course, has tons to do with this episode.
Yeah. So the hand that rocks the Mabel. Look, if we could talk to you over a cup of coffee or something, we would have crazy stories. But we limited it to our children's stories because we're dying inside slowly.
Yeah.
No. But this is... It's weird because I feel like the first two episodes they're so funny, right?
Yeah.
These last two episodes, they're still funny. Like,
hilarious.
Hilarious, but a huge... chunk of the reason that the episodes are so great is because the last episode has this real suspenseful, mysterious, like, action whole ending. This episode is, like, a lot more character driven, and I am very excited for the next two episodes that we are going to do, because we do them in bunches, because those are
great episodes.
Those are freaking hilarious, and I feel like we don't get so somber when there's more jokes for us to talk about.
We'll have a little bit easier time, I think, with the next two.
Look, this is an emotional roller coaster. but I mean, again, I've said this before. This was the episode where, when I first watched it, I said to either Kurt or Chris, I was like, man, this show's morals and the lessons in these shows are so awesome, because, like, this is a hard needle to thread to tell, like, 10 to 14 year old kids. This is what the friend zone is. You know, this is what it means to lead someone on. This is when you have to be honest about how you don't like someone that way, but you still like them.
Well, and it's so weird thinking about, like, being at that age where you're first starting to have to really think about the difference to even have a concept of the romance zone.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's a whole weird thing to be dealing with.
And I mean, this episode, from both the guys and the girls' perspective, I mean, like, I know Lil Gideon is a psychopath.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I feel like it really well... like, you could show this to a kid, and they would be like, oh, this makes sense.
I get it.
So, Hand the Rocks to Mabel. This episode has been called Sweater Town. GravityFallsGossiper.com. Oh, I'm sorry. You have the band names.
Yeah.
All right.
There's even more band names this episode. So here we go. Number one, Tent of Telepathy.
That's good.
Number two, Gideon Psychic Sack. These are all good band names. Number three, I don't know what kind of bands these would all be, but I could see band names as these being band names. Number three, Dapper Little Man.
Oh, that's like a rockabilly.
Yeah.
It's got to be a rockabilly band, like a Reverend Horton
and,
kind of band.
The last one is Name Brand Foods and Clown Paintings.
Oh, that was one of my favorite. What is it like? It's only name brand foods and...
From here on out, it's all name brand foods and clown paintings.
And clown paintings. Oh, man. From that dude who looks like he's in the Goof Troop.
Yeah. That guy really does look sort of like he escaped from Goof Troop to be in this episode.
So, gravityfallsgosper.com, GF Gospercast on Twitter, gravityfallsgosper@gmail.com.
Yeah.
.com?
No, I think we got .org. I think we did get
Facebook, iTunes, leave us a review, and thank you so much for listening, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
Got anything else? Any closing words of wisdom for those who are stuck in the friend zone and being pulled into the quicksand of the romance zone?
Chris Haley's not here right now. Chris Haley's in Sweater Town.
I think that's all you need to say. See you next time. From now on, everyone that wasn't at.